Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
One of the first things you see when you look at a football player is his helmet, the old headgear, the hard shell. Well, we have a gentleman that's joining us today, Blaise Da Silva, who has helmethistory.com that honors the tradition and history of each team with their helmets. His story's coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have an interesting show tonight. We have a guest that has a helmet site that has like almost every helmet you can imagine of every team you can imagine. And I'm not just talking the NFL, and I'm not just talking, the CFL. He has those leagues and he goes all the way back, but he's got almost every, I think every college football team as well. And he goes into some of the more exotic leagues, the WFL, XFL, and some others. His name is Blaise Da Silva. His website is helmethistory.com. And Blaise Da Silva, welcome to the Pigpen.
Darren, thank you for having me as a guest and being able to share with you a little bit of my passion around football history, and in particular, football helmets, as you were just alluding to on my website, helmethistory.com. I have documented through photographs the helmet history of, like you said, not only the NFL, the CFL, all 130, actually I think it's 131 this year with one of those FCS schools moving up, but all FBS teams. I think I've got about 65 to 70 FCS teams. I've got leagues that have expired, obviously, WFL, the old XFL, the new XFL, USFLs, NFL Europe, World League of American Football. So there's plenty out there for anybody who's a history buff of any of the football leagues. I'm working on the Arena Football League. I started it last summer and stopped. I had to take a break, but I've probably got about 60 to 70% of the photos that I need for the Arena Football League. So that's probably the next one on. But yeah, for anybody who's a history buff of any of these football leagues and loves helmets, and I think everybody loves helmets. I mean, when you talk about football and you talk about helmets, people's eyes light up. They talk about their favorite helmets. They remember big games that they were at and what the teams were wearing, things like that. So helmets, They're a great conversation piece with anybody who's a football fan.
They are probably the most recognizable symbol of football besides the ball itself, the shape of the ball itself. You put a silhouette of a football helmet, most people around the Western world will know exactly what you're talking about, even if football is not prevalent in their country. It's just that recognizable thing. It's a very interesting piece of equipment in many ways. And just the color and pageantry and designs and safety features and everything that's evolved over the years, it's really interesting. And I'm glad you have a site like this. I'm glad I found this recently because it's really interesting. And so I need to know, why don't you go back somewhere in the beginning, where did you start to get first a passion for football, and then how did that evolve into helmets?
Yeah, so I grew up in Seattle, and as a kid growing up, I will admit I was a Washington Husky fan, even though I ended up going to Washington State, but I was a Washington Husky fan growing up and started going to their games. Actually, my first game was in 1977. I think I was about 11 years old, and it was Warren Moon's senior season at the University of Washington, and they didn't get off to such a great start. It was a 1-4 start, and they ended up winning out and going to the Rose Bowl and beating a top five ranked Michigan team. And so that was kind of some of my first memories. And then also at the same time, the Seattle Seahawks were an expansion franchise in 76. So my interest in football kind of dovetailed with the Seahawks coming into Seattle, as well as my interest in the University of Washington. And back then, you know, in the 70s, one of the things that I used to collect was the gumball helmets that you could buy, you know, in the grocery store, and the gumball machines there were 25 cents. So we used to collect a lot of those gumball helmets over the years, as well as other types of memorabilia that had helmets on it. There was a, this was actually in the early 70s, I can't even remember, I think it was probably 6 or 7, but there was a, back then Gatorade was sold in only a 32-ounce glass bottle. And they had a metal top to it, and they did this promotion with the NFL where they had the helmets on, you know, on the top of the lid. And so we used to collect those lids as well. In fact, obviously, all that stuff lost it over the years. But with the advent of eBay, I was actually able to go on and purchase, you know, a set of those Gatorade lids, as well as a bunch of gumball helmets. So my fascination, fast forward, my fascination with helmets was kind of resurrected with eBay, because all of a sudden you discover eBay, and this was probably 99, 2000, and I could go on there and buy a lot of these things that were from my childhood. So whether it was buying gumball helmets and buying, you know, rare sets and other things, to, like I said, the Gatorade lids, to other helmet type paraphernalia, memorabilia. It was just, that kind of got me back into it. And then what really kind of then started to catapult it was the gumball. They'd stopped making the gumball helmets, I think, in sometime in the early 90s. And Riddell kind of took over with this helmet called a Pocket Pro, which was about a 2-inch helmet, a little bit bigger than what the gumball helmet was, but much, much more realistic, because it wasn't the stickers and the little funny white face mask. I mean, they looked great. And so they made current NFL teams, they made current college teams, and I think they made a CFL set. But there were these guys on eBay who would take these helmets, strip them of their paint, repaint them, and put logos on them, vinyl logos on them, and they'd make pretty much any version of any team that you wanted. And I actually started with this gentleman. I bought about 80 arena football helmets from him. And this was probably, I can't remember the exact year, I want to say it's probably 2003 or 2004, but I bought about 80 arena football helmets from him. And he said, "Hey, what else do you want?" And I said to him, "I want everything." And I kid you not, I mean, when I said everything, it was everything. And so I have been working with him since 2003, making everything. And, you know, today I have over 7,000 Pocket Pro helmets. Wow. Which is been an amazing journey. I actually added a second guy in about 2016 or 17, because my first guy was talking about stop doing it. And I said, "You can't stop on me. I'm so deep into this. What am I going to do with all this?" And so I was transitioning to this second guy, and then the first guy ended up not giving it up. And so I've actually needed both of them, because one, going back and fixing some things that either needed fixed or we were missing. And that was part of the research, which led to my website, which we'll get to in a second. So there was a lot of work to do, even though I thought we were more closer to being done. And then the new guy was kind of handling all these college helmets that are new every year, because there's 250 to 280 new helmets a year in college. So he's been working on that. So we're almost done. You know, NFL is pretty much done. That's been pretty,
Let me pause just a second so that the listeners, I mean, if you're by a computer, go to helmethistory.com, the Blaze's site, and up at the top, he's got an about button. Click on that about button, and there is a picture of Mr. Da Silva standing there, and which I assume is only probably part of your collection, but there's probably a couple thousand of these helmets right there. And it's a pretty impressive picture. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Please continue.
No. So we're almost caught up. We're probably, if I look at the list, we're probably about 200 helmets, mostly college from 2021, from catching up. So we've been working real hard in getting there. But building out all these helmets over the years, I would tell you, up until about 2016 or so, I didn't do any of the research. The guy who made the helmets, he was doing the research and he was cranking them out, and that was great. And then I realized, like, we just weren't catching up. You know, we were making, you know, I don't know, 300 to 400 helmets a year, but I felt like we were just never getting ahead of the game. And so I started to get into the research business of, okay, I'm going to start researching college every year. So I've changed my process a lot over the years, but I started researching starting in 2017, like, okay, I'll start helping you with the research side so you don't have to spend all your time on research. You can just spend your time on making the helmets. And so basically my process on research is every week I look at every game and determine if it's a new helmet or not. I have a spreadsheet. I keep track of every team, every by conference. I do CFL. I do NFL is pretty much, they announce it at the beginning of the year. There might be a tiny, tiny change. There's not too many in the NFL. But essentially, I am researching it, making all these changes. And so as I was doing that in 17 and 18 and 19, I kind of started to realize I've got all these photos, because I would capture photos. It wasn't just looking at it and then just writing it down. I would capture it. I said, I've got all these photos. I should build a website. And I thought I had more photos than I did. I probably ultimately had less than 10% of the photos that I needed to build out the website as you see it today, because either I didn't have a clear enough picture or close enough picture. I needed both the logo and the stripe or the back, that depending on the helmet and what the design is. And so it was in the summer of 2020, kind of a COVID project, I'd call it. And I just said, I'm going to build out a website that's going to detail the helmet history of every school, every NFL team, and then just so on and so on and so on, and just building it out. But the focus initially was college. That's where I started. I started with, you know, FBS colleges. And the reason why I also started it was that summer I was doing a Twitter post a day. Actually, back up. In 2019, the 150th anniversary of college football, I decided to do a post a day kind of through the season leading into the national championship game, where I posted a photo of my helmet collection, one school a day. So I did it by conference, and I alphabetically by conference, and I did it over 130 odd days. I posted one school a day. So that was kind of fun. It was a neat project. I kind of got people aware of what I was doing. And then the next year with COVID, I decided I would post a helmet fact a day about each school. So something interesting about a helmet, something unique about a helmet. They've only done the helmet like this one time. I don't know. If you go back and look at my Twitter feed, you'll see. But I did a fact a day using a photo. And it was as I was going through that project where I started to go, you know, I should probably build out the website. Between all this work I'm doing during the season and now doing this post today, and I'm getting more and more photos. So I decided, all right, I'm going to tackle this. And I think Rutgers was the first school I did, because I would think I was in the R's when I was posting my fact a day. But literally, I just started with that. And I'm not a webmaster, web designer. I had my sister-in-law, who's very helpful and very graphically oriented. I said, I need a template. So she kind of created the template of my site. And away I went. And, you know, it was a learning process along the way. Depending on how complicated a school was, I could do 1 to 2 schools a day. It depended on how many helmets they had. It depended on how easily accessible were resources to find out what helmet they wore. And a lot of that is using yearbooks from the school. Certainly, if a school was great with yearbooks, it could be into the 2000s. A lot of schools have stopped printing yearbooks because of the cost of it. But, you know, some schools stopped in the 80s. But at least that would get me from the 80s, maybe back to the 1930s. Actually, the hardest era, if they didn't have the yearbooks, was probably the 90s and 2000s, because despite the internet being as great as it is, I feel like there's a gap there. And I would struggle, especially with helmets that weren't worn. Maybe it was a one game special, which was pretty rare, right, back in the 90s or too early 2000s. Those were some of my harder era. Like, the internet's really good, 2010 to current. And the yearbooks were really good. If they went up to the 80s going backwards, it was that kind of middle period. But if a school didn't have yearbooks, then that created even more challenges. So it was like a treasure hunt. in finding photos. And like I said, yearbooks were always great, but it was a treasure hunt. And I'm probably not as resourceful as I could be. I mean, one of the guys who makes my helmets, I mean, he's great at digging up school newspapers, the student newspaper, and he was really good at accessing that and finding some things. But it was like a treasure hunt. And it took me probably 6 months or so to build out college. And then from there, you know, NFL was relatively easy, other than say the 20s, 30s, 40s would be a little more challenging. And that's when I leaned on the folks at, gridironuniforms.com. They were fantastic in helping me out with some of those older NFL photos and just kept building it out. Like I said, CFL, USFL, WFL, XFL, AAF, UFL. I mean, there's enough on there. And then I slowly have been adding FCS schools. Again, if they have yearbooks, I'm very successful. But I've been trying to add, I don't think I'll probably get to all 100 and whatever there are, 125, 130 schools. I've probably reached my limit on doing those. But arena football definitely is one that I want to do. But you know, it never ends, because even the other day when I'm on Twitter and I follow a bunch of, you know, sites, and guys are posting photos of old games and stuff, and I see a helmet, I don't know if I have that photo as good as that photo is, or maybe I don't have it in color, right? So I'll bookmark it. And so the other day I spent about 2 hours going through all my bookmarks on Twitter and looking at my photo and going, oh, I need to replace that. That's, you know, and that's a better photo and that's a better angle. So I'm constantly trying to, you know, upgrade it. I know that there's some photos, certainly anything from like 1990 on, there's some photos where I feel like I got to do some more digging to get a better in focus picture. So that's on the list of things to do. But I'll give you an example. The other day I caught this one, because the NFL isn't that interesting, right? They don't really change their helmets that much. So on some teams, I haven't done this with every team, but on some teams I'm really interested. Well, I've done this on all teams where I do the back of the helmet if they have a number. And it's interesting to see how numbers have changed over the years, whether it's the font, the location. So I've got all that. But there was an interesting thing the Raiders did last year. So when Al Davis passed away in 2013, they put an owl logo on the back of their helmet. And first they had a bigger shield, then they went to a smaller shield, then they moved it to the other side of the helmet. So that's all happening over the course of a year. And then that was fine, that stayed constant until last year when John Madden passed away. So they put a shield for JM on the back of their helmet, and they put it on the, so Al's on the right side next to the stripe, and they put John Madden on the left side for the first game. They put him to the left of the flag, so he's way away from the stripe. So I had that on my site, and I had bookmarked another photo just absentmindedly, and I was looking through the other day. So that was game 16. Well, game 17, the last game of the regular season, and then their playoff game against the Bengals, they actually moved the JM next to the stripe, just like Al is on the other side of the stripe. So they look uniform, symmetrical. I hadn't caught that until I was going through this the other day, and I realized, you know, oh crap, I got to add that little photo to my site. And then I had to figure out, did they do it in the playoff game or did they actually do it in game 17? So there's always little things to be adding and trying to make it better and more accurate. And, you know, someday I'll look at the design and try to decide, should I design it differently? Is it the best way to view it? It's actually better viewed on a desktop than mobile. It's more challenging on a mobile device just because of the way it's been set up. So is that something I need to change long term? But there's always something going on, and it's great. And I'm just getting myself right now geared up for the college season. Right now I'm tracking CFL, but I couldn't even be bothered to put a spreadsheet together for the CFL. I just look every week and I just put it in there, which is fine. But for college, I've got to get all my spreadsheets lined up. So I have to type in which weeks they play, you know, because they have bye weeks and this, that. So I know what I'm looking for. And I've got a few hours of work. But during the season, college, between updating the website, between tweeting them out, because I like to tweet them out too, although I'm not trying to be always the first person out, but I do my best. Tweeting, and I don't generally try to tweet before the game because I want to make sure they actually wore it. So there's every once in a while I do them before the game, but I generally try to do them on the Saturday. But I got to update my website, I got to tweet them out, and I've got to update my spreadsheet. I mean, I've got 15 hours of work a week on this project.
Well, while we're on the top subject, why don't you, if you want to give out your social media, your Twitter handle, so people can follow you.
Oh, yeah. Twitter handle is at WTF Coach. Story behind that is, I think about 10, 12 years ago, I had a website, WTFcoach.com. It doesn't exist and somebody's squatted it, so I don't have it. But I literally did a blog on bad coaching decisions. And I don't have all the database statistical analyses, like with the percentages of, to go for it or not. But just from a common sense standpoint, I used to blog about every NFL game because there's horrible coaching decisions, primarily end of half, end of game type stuff. And then I would pick certain college games that were close and had issues. So I did again, it was a passion project there. I wasn't making any money or doing any advertising or anything like that. It was just, I got to do it. And it was a lot of work and it was a lot of fun. But I only did that for one season. So that's where the handle started, and I've never changed it. So at WTF Coach is my Twitter handle. And like I said, I do tweet out, all the things about new helmets pretty much in any league that I can get my hands on. And then my website, helmethistory.com, is where you can see all this stuff.
Okay, yeah, we are here with Blaise De Silva, helmethistory.com, and a great website, Blaise. Now, I noticed that, I'm a Notre Dame fan. That's my FBS school. So I, of course, one of the first ones I went to is I went to the Independence, and which you have them laid out very nicely. You have the front page you go to, listeners, and there is, you have the college football FBS, and you can see the NFL, and you see the FCS schools and XFL, and there's a whole bunch there. It's very easy to navigate. Once you get into, if you go into the FBS schools, you can see there by conference, and the independents like Notre Dame have their own section too with Army and the UMass and UConn. And you go, you click on Notre Dame, and then up pops the most current helmet, I believe is the way you have it laid out.
Yes.
It starts at 2021, 2022.
I start with current.
And I scroll all the way down. I wonder how far back he goes. Well, he goes all the way back in the leather helmet era. He's back in the 30s with Notre Dame. I know that, which, like you said, had to be a challenge, but I'm sure those yearbooks helped you out.
Yeah, the yearbooks, if they have the yearbooks, then I can get to the 30s pretty easily. You can imagine what yearbooks were like back then, and sometimes they don't have in-game photos, it's just it's just the headshots and things like that. So that, I tried my best to do as far back as I could. Notre Dame, again, hasn't had too many helmets, although the Shamrock series in the 2010s has, given them another 8 to 10 interesting helmets. Interesting one about Notre Dame, I have this photo, but I don't know when it was worn, and I don't have, it's not close enough, but it's a Joe Montana, so, late 70s. And there's some sticker that he put on his helmet. And I think it's only Joe. I don't think it was a team thing. And I emailed somebody I know who works at the Notre Dame Athletic Office, said, could you ask the sports information guys, do they have anything about this? And they had zero for me. So that's one that's like sitting out there, like, oh man, I wish I could figure out what exactly. It's a big white kind of sticker on the side over here, and and that was one I'm like trying to figure that out. There's some, I'll give you an example. Miami in the late 60s used to put some logos / sayings on their helmet, for specific to it, the team they were playing. So they had one against LSU, I think one against Colorado, maybe Alabama. And the big one that at least I have the visual of, this one, I can't find good visuals of the other ones. I've put them on my site, but they're hard to see. But the one is that against Florida, they have a Get a Gator. And that one you can really see. So those are some interesting ones. So there's things that I'm trying to chase down, but it's pretty tough, when you're 50 years out and maybe the people who might know about it aren't necessarily around anymore. But there's always a treasure hunt, trying to find out the last piece of information on something.
Okay, so you mentioned one of the hardest things your red herrings you're chasing, that Montana Notre Dame helmet. What's one of the ones that maybe that you really had a challenge to find it and you found it? And what's that feel like, when you find that treasure on your treasure hunt?
Yeah, I mean, there were a number of them. It usually revolves around one game special helmets. Those are the ones that are the hardest. And I'm not talking about in the last 5 years or anything like that. Although, sorry, I'll take that back. There are some FCS schools who did some one-game helmets, and you can imagine finding pictures on FCS schools is a little bit harder. I will tell you, I did have, when I was doing some schools, and I can't remember which schools they were now, but because I was doing FCS most in the last, you know, 6 to 9 months, but when I was doing it, there were definitely two or three FCS ones that I found that I was like, wow. And I didn't think they would be there. So there were a couple of those. The ones that there are across my site, across all the teams, I would tell you there's probably 20 photos that I'm missing. So there's some Fresno State ones. Fresno State and New Mexico are probably the two schools that come up that have the most missing photos. I don't know what it is about those two. They're a little challenging. Fresno State had like 8 different helmets in the 1970s, so that didn't help me either. But those are two that I've probably got to re-engage with. It's probably a local newspaper thing that I'm going to have to figure out. Problem with local newspapers is they might not have a good photo, and they'll be black and white most likely, so it doesn't help me as much. But those are two schools. I'm trying to think if I have...
Well, the good thing is that most of the games are played Saturday, and usually it was traditionally the Sunday papers where you had the most color. And so, you know, maybe that helps your job a little easier.
Yeah, well, the problem is those are smaller towns, too. They're not the big newspapers, which is challenging. And the other thing is I don't feel like signing up for a million subscriptions to have to cancel later to just get a photo. So I haven't embarked on that. But those are two schools that come to mind instantly of like, oh, those are the two that are the ones that I would really, really would like to get more of. I'm trying to think if there's anything... If there was anything monumental, I'm like, oh my God, can't believe I found it. I guess there was a Colorado one game special in like 1997 or 98, and I was actually able to connect with the sports information department, and he found a photo for me and sent that on. So that was pretty cool. Nice. So I have reached out to some schools. You know, I reach out to schools all the time, not only about historical stuff, but even current, like. Let's say I see a new helmet on Saturday. I'm like, was that really new? Did they do something? And I'll ask them a specific question, and they'll respond back to me, especially the equipment managers, and they're like, you picked up on that. That is actually new. We did, you know, and it could be as small as, we did add that thin black outline to the stripe that you can barely see, but yes, it is there, right? And I'll call that a new helmet. So it doesn't have to be a big change to be considered a new helmet. In what I've done, not only on the website, but in making the helmets as well, any change is considered new. So whether it's face mask color, whether it's obviously helmet color, whether it's logo change, whether it's stripe change, but it can be an outline. And you would be surprised at how many times, like, really, that's a change? It can be a matte helmet to a glossy helmet. That's been the new thing in the last 5 years where, you know, it was previously usually glossy and then they've gone to matte. And I consider that a new helmet, and which is why when I look at my website, and listen, there's a lot of great information out there on the web, and you know, there's a great website, helmetproject.com. He's done a phenomenal job too. But I do like to say that I think mine is the most accurate representation of what teams have worn, because I have gone down to that excruciating detail of calling something new, whether, like I said, it goes from glossy to matte, whether it is an outline around a logo or what have you, like the tiniest change that may not be reflected on other websites. Also, I do go back to the 1930s, and also I can say with 100% certainty that, especially over the last, let's call it 7 or 8 years of college, where it's been so many changes, that my site is accurate to every game, because I have literally gone through every game and looked at photos and made sure that what I had was right. And so I feel like I have the most accurate representation. Something you did say earlier when you said, hey, you go to Notre Dame and you'll see the most current helmet. This was interesting because when I first started the website, first Rutgers and the first, say, 5 schools, I had done it the opposite. I'd started with, you know, 1930s and then kind of was going this way. And it was one of the guys who makes my helmets. He goes, you know, I think you'd be better off starting with the most current because they're more interesting. Like the photos from the 30s aren't great. It's just leather helmets. It doesn't, you know, it's not as interesting. And so he gave me the suggestion you should flip it. And so I did flip it and start with the most current, because it's, there's more going on. There's more interesting.
I think that was good advice. He's spot on there, because that's really interesting, and it's a logical find. It's probably, you know, people want to go in and see what the latest, month from now when the season starts, and they're saying, hey, you know, Oregon's wearing a new helmet, and I'm going to go to, you know, helmethistory.com. Hey, there it is. You know, they can find it real readily. Now, something you said earlier, you said there's about 280 FBS new helmets every season. So my I'm not a mathematician, but I'm calculating that's probably about, you know, two per team on average, except I'm sure there's teams like I just mentioned, Oregon, who probably changes quite a bit more than that. It seems like every time I watch them, they have a new uniform on. So how do you, so you're going through, you're saying, you know, like 65 games every week of just college football, you're keeping an eye on and taking a look at those helmets in great detail.
My process, and again, it depends also where I am each week. If I'm at home, it's a lot easier. You know, I'm traveling. I'm going to a few games myself. I'm at weddings, things like that. I mean, I'm constantly, you know, looking and searching and doing things, because I too try to tweet out as much as I can in real time. If I know I'm going to be busy over the weekend, I will tweet a bunch of stuff out Thursday and Friday just to get it off my list. But essentially what I do, and the early season is terrible because you just mentioned 65 games, but in the early part of the season when everybody's playing, you know, FCS schools and stuff, you might be talking 100 to 110 games.
Oh, that's true.
Plus, I am actually now tracking 65 FCS schools, so add that to the list. And not all of those have photographers at, you know, a team doesn't send their sports information team to an away game, so sometimes they'll just put up a photo that's that's not that game, that was a home game, you're in your home uniform, whatever. So FCS can get challenging, but essentially my process is I have my spreadsheets for FBS, and what I try to do is, and then I have a three pages, but a spreadsheet that lists every team and what time they're playing. And I color code the games by, you know, for me out here on the West Coast, the 9 a.m. games, the 12:30 games, and essentially the 4 p.m. games, or any that falls kind of in those windows. So I know what I'm looking for. So if I'm at home, I can flip around the dial and get through whatever, 10 games, whatever's on. But with more teams posting so much on Twitter these days, usually I'm just flipping through Twitter and search a school, and I'll just look and get a quick check and say, okay, they got a game photo. Schools today do a lot of releases, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so they're putting out their release videos. But I'll tell you, and you might watch out for this, Darren, this season. This is something you'll see and you're like, he was right. Teams will do these uniform release crazy cool videos in the forest, in the whatever. I mean, they do all these things. And they're showing the uniform. I get to see a uniform reveal, but they never, not never, many times they don't give you enough of a close-up shot of the helmet to understand, is it a new helmet or not? Like, they kind of doing their crazy edits and cuts and coolness and, you know, is that a new stripe or not? Is there a stripe on the helmet? What's the logo? Like, they keep everything mysterious sometimes. So the reveal videos aren't necessarily good. And I do look at those, and sometimes they do a big PR release around whether it's a military appreciation or something like that. So you're like, okay, I know that they're doing this. But sometimes I like to wait until the game, because I've been caught a few times where they've actually said they were going to wear something and then they didn't. So I have to balance that a little bit. But essentially what I do is I try to do it on Saturday if I have the time. Or if I can sneak it in while I'm out and about. And then on Sunday morning, I do kind of my final catch up. But what I basically do is I verify, I go through every game, and hopefully through a Twitter shot, I can see both teams. And I know generally, you know, in my spreadsheet, in my page that I have the color-coded games, you know, I make notes on, I know which teams are generally not changing. And Alabama's not changing, Ohio State's not changing, USC's not changing. So I know what I'm looking for.
And so you know, Penn State's not changing.
Penn State generally, I mean, they do a number every once in a while. You know, what's important for me is you know, I got to make sure that I've looked at every game and verified, yep. And even doing all that, I will admit, there are, you know, I think there's other sites that I verify against, and I'll be like, oh, shoot, I didn't catch that one in week one, and it might be 6 weeks later. So, you know, there's probably four or five last year that I didn't catch until way later, because it's just, you know, it's a lot to, you know, make sure that you know, is that a new one or not a new one? And I like I said, I like to think I'm pretty good at knowing that, but every once in a while I get caught and didn't realize that they did something. I'll give you an example. Miami of Ohio, they had a helmet for about 4 years, like 2016 to 2019, and it was a red helmet, but there was a little white shading. It was a white helmet. It had a red rim to it. And then in 1 year they took the red off and I didn't notice that. And it wasn't like massive red. It was just a very, you know, thin around the edge. So that was, you know, those are ones. But your comment earlier about, okay, 280 helmets, 130 tombs, an average of two per team. Well, when you throw out the 45 or 50 teams that probably don't change their helmet, or they might wear multiple helmets, but it's not new, like there's a recycling ones. So then you say, okay, there's 80 teams. Now you're starting to get up to closer to four, and then you throw out the ones that have only done one new helmet. I mean, the worst conference by far, the conference that I hate the most, is the MAC. The MAC has more helmets than any conference.
Really? Surprises me.
Kent State has been on a roll the last 3 years. I mean, they have 28 new helmets over the last 3 years. Kent State's, you know, a tough one. Miami of Ohio has been a tough one. Toledo, slightly. Western Michigan, not as bad as when PJ Fleck was there. I think if I recall right, in 52 games at Western Michigan, PJ Fleck had 35 new helmets.
Holy cow.
So, that one's challenging, especially because their blacks and their browns, dark browns, look awfully similar and so on and so forth. But the MAC conferences, in fact, I would probably tell you the MAC, the Conference USA, and the Sun Belt are probably the conferences I like the least. Because you think those are the conferences that should have one helmet and stop messing around. They probably don't have the money, right? But no, they probably do the most. I mean, I debated a few years ago, should I just stop doing those conferences? But I'm so far deep into this, I guess I can't give up any of them. But those are the ones that are absolutely the worst.
Well, I guess it sounds like when you talked earlier about doing the CFL, you're doing those four games a week over a span of three different days. That's a piece of cake to you. That's not even a warm up for you for what's going to happen.
Yeah,
here soon.
That one is a very nice one. And they usually, for the most part, do announce when they're doing new helmets, like the, you know, Edmonton Elks changed their helmet this year. They went back to the double E, albeit not in an oval. But they announced that. Hamilton announced they were going to do their hammer helmet. But then Calgary surprised me, wore the regular helmet in preseason, and then game one came out with a new helmet. Just out of nowhere. So CFL
is just for you to keep you on your toes.
CFL is relatively easy, obviously. And I've also made all the CFL helmets in my collection. So in terms of my collection, you know, I have all the FBS schools. I have all the NFL. I have Canadian. I do have like the WFL, USFL, XFL. So I have a bunch of those. I had a bunch of other leagues, you know, all those indoor leagues, whatever, IFL, SFL, PSFL, whatever, all these. And I had them made and then I got rid of them because I was running out of space and I needed the cases for them as well. So, pretty much what I'm doing on my site, I'm mirroring, you know, in my collection, with the exception of FCS. I only have the Ivy League, North Dakota State, and Idaho, just because they were in FBS and dropped down. But I have put it on my list. We have three schools we have to do because they're jumping up to FBS. So, you know, Sam Houston State, Jacksonville State, and James Madison. So we're making those helmets. I have all those on my website. But then I think where I'll probably start making more helmets will be the Big Sky. I love the Montanas, the Montana States. You know, I grew up in the northwest. So I'll probably do some Big Sky, and then I'll do the Missouri Valley Conference, because that's a powerhouse conference, South Dakota State, North Dakota. I already had North Dakota State, as I mentioned. So those would be some that I'll make. I think I'll probably make on those.
All right. Well, I got to ask a question before we sign off here. Okay. So let's say you have a guest over your house. It's not over very often, but you have that. What's that showpiece of your collection? The one that you are the most proud of that you want to make sure a guest sees? What's that helmet and what era is it from?
What I would tell you is what a guest sees, generally what's most important to them and what I like to show them is where did they go to school? That's what they want to see. So if they were a graduate of an FBS school, that's where they gravitate to first. It's like, oh my God, because generally if they're a football fan, they go, oh my God, I was in school when that helmet was being worn, you know? And so then they want to take a picture of it and things like that. So I wouldn't say it's anything about what I want to show them. When they ask me, like, hey, what's your favorite? And of course, besides the Washington State helmets, which is where I, you know, went to school, my favorite helmet is a Navy helmet that they did versus Army. You know, they've both schools have kind of gotten into doing these classic one game helmets. And they did a series, 2015, I think. They did seven different hand-painted helmets with seven different battleships on them. And they're beautiful. And my guy who made them, I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to make those or not. Because there's a few we haven't made that he goes, I don't know how I'm going to make these, but I thought those would be in that list. And no, he made them. So people say, what's your favorite? I go, it's the Navy battleship helmets. Those are definitely my favorites for people to see. But again, people graduate to... You know, or gravitate to where they went to school. That's what they want to see, or where their dad went to school, or you know, or who they're a fan of, whatever. That's definitely it. But the helmets, I displayed it. So we moved, and the picture on my website was from my old house. It was in one of my garages, which we never used as a garage. It was my helmet room, but I built shelves on the wall, and I had basically two walls covered with the helmets. So we're here in the process of in Vegas of putting an addition onto our house. We're adding a whole new 2.5-car garage so I can take over the existing 2-car and turn it into a memorabilia room. So I've taken off the garage door, putting windows on. And
so you have a helmet wing is what you're trying to say.
You're exactly right. And one other thing I just want to share with you, you know, you mentioned people coming over to my house and seeing the helmets, which I love. But of course, it's only the few people who come over to my house. I had the opportunity this year at the NFL draft, which was here in Vegas, and the company I work for, Caesars Sportsbook, is a sponsor of the NFL, and we had an activation space at the draft, a 30-by-30 space, and they were just trying to figure out, like, what do we do with this space? And one of my CEOs who is a football fan and we got talking about helmets, and he knew about my helmet collection, et cetera. He's like, why don't we put your helmets out at the draft? And so I have them in these cases, 40 helmets a case, these acrylic cases, see-through cases. They built these units to put the cases in. So we had six units, 10 feet long each, so 30 feet on each side, that had all my college and all my NFL helmets. And it was wonderful to be able to just get it out and let people see that. So that was pretty cool. So, you know, listen, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of scary to think, I don't know that I'm ever going to give this up, and I can't give up the website. You know, it's like I put so much into it. I think what I'd like to be able to do and maybe somebody hears me on this podcast and volunteers, but I really would love to have some people to help me who want to be involved and say, hey, I'll track these conferences, or I'll do this, or I'll add this to the website so that there's multiple people doing it, because it is a lot of work. I'm trying to recruit my son's 15, and when he was younger, when he was like 5, he was really into the helmets. He could name every team, college, all this stuff. He chose his NFL team, which sadly he chose the New York Jets because their 1963 helmet had an airplane on it. So when he was like 4, and he's like, I like the Jets helmet. You know, his old helmet. So he stuck with them. Surprisingly, he stuck with them. You know, I'm trying to recruit him in, and I said maybe you can do FCS this year because there's only there might be across the schools that I'm doing, you know, 30 to 40 new helmets, but you got to pay attention. You got to look at the detail. You got to know what they've worn previously to understand, is that new or not? So I'm not sure I can count on them or not. We'll see. But I said, maybe you could start with FCS, but I would love more people to help me at some point, because it is a lot of work and I love it. And it is a passion, but it can be very consuming. And like I said, especially when I'm busy on the weekend, when I'm traveling and going to a game and I'm looking at Twitter and I'm searching, oh crap, that's a new helmet and I got to tweet it out and so on and so forth. So, but it's fun. It's a passion and I love it. And, you know, everybody should have a passion. Everybody should have a hobby. And this is what it is for me.
Okay, listeners, if you would like to, you know, help blazon this great project, this labor of love of identifying new helmets, you can go to that helmethistory.com. He's got a contact bar up at the top of his header. Just click on that. And believe me, he gets back to you pretty quick, because that's how I got in touch with him. And Blaze, why don't you give us your Twitter handle one more time here, so sure. We can make sure, and your website too, so people.
Sure. It's Twitter handle is @WTFcoach. Is my Twitter handle. And then the website is helmethistory.com. And like you said, there is a contact tab on there for people to contact me. And I'm also, listen, if any of your listeners have, they have better photos, if they have information that I'm missing or something that I'm missing, I love when people send me things to make the website better. I'm trying to make it better for everybody, because I hope that this is going, you know, this is the master site that is the most detailed about helmet history across all those leagues that I'm tracking. But if there's something that I don't have or something that you have that is a better quality, please send it on, and I'm happy to add it to the site.
Okay. And if you're driving and you can't write this information down, go ahead, feel free to get in contact with us here, pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we will get you in contact with Blaze to help out on this project. Blaze Da Silva, we really appreciate you taking the time, and we really appreciate the work of preserving that football history through the headgear that the players have wore at all levels, or college and pro level. And really appreciate, great site, helmethistory.com.
Thank you, Darren. Thanks for having me on.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.